patriotism, faith, national unity, education, fiscal responsibility, civility, the values that define America. Fascinating stories and talks from America-loving patriots dedicated to preserving freedom, opportunity, and justice. Welcome to the Friends and Fellow Citizens Podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 129 of Friends and Fellow Citizens. I'm your host, Sherman Tyloski. Thank you all so much for joining me for this rather special solo episode. Hope you are all doing well. As a kind reminder, if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to Friends and Fellow Citizens. If you are enjoying this content, I really appreciate once again to all of our supporters for our Patreon. And if you'd like to be a Patreon member, remember that there are some updated benefits, so make sure to check out the Patreon link down the show notes below. I really appreciate, once again, for all of the help to support this program. The first part of this program recognizes that, if you can believe it, we have just hit another year of Friends and Fellow Citizens podcasting. We started this program on August 31st, 2020, and whether you've been here since episode one or this is your first ever episode, thank you all so much once again for another great year of this podcast. It's hard to believe that we have hit 129 episodes as of this episode, and I just can't wait to really see what we produce in the next year. We really have just added on to the incredible guests and content that we've had since August 31st, 2020. And it's just hard to believe that 3 years go by and it feels like I just started the podcast maybe 6 months ago. It's hard to believe that we have reached this level. And there's so much more to come. But before we move on, I'd like to once again recognize all the guests who have been on this program for the past year. And so as a bit of a tradition on Friends and Fellow Citizens, I have compiled a bit of a highlight reel of just some of the content that has been on produced by our guests on our interview episodes. And I'd like to play that for you right now.
The best strategy for not just educating between generations, but across careers, across cultures, is teaching people how to have a growth mindset and how to accept information. This is something that can help me in the future, or I learned something new today, you know, whatever have you. You can take in different viewpoints, different pieces of information. And so one of the biggest things that we can teach each other, we can teach soldiers and doctors and paramedics and, you know, what have you, whatever it is how to listen to each other.
When you share stories of a family in California, star student approached by a pill pusher online on Snapchat, delivers something straight to their mailbox, takes it when his family's gone, laced with fentanyl, and passes away. When you tell stories like that, everyone, no matter left, right, white, black, anyone is going to be heartbroken and sad about that issue. Making that accountability that we talked about earlier, where change does happen and we don't have to keep reading the same stories over and over again.
What the purpose for the Gaming Control Board is, and a lot of that has to do with ensuring integrity around the industry. Individuals who wish to visit Nevada and who wish to gamble in Nevada, they need to have the utmost confidence and assurances that when they're here, they're being treated fairly, and it's a safe environment for them. We need to ensure that we have a competitive market here in Nevada. What does that mean? A free market. So anybody, you, Sherman, if you want to open a gaming establishment in Nevada, you can do so. Before you do so, we're going to make sure that you're honest, you have integrity, you have good character, you've got business acumen, and you've got the wherewithal to be able to do it, of course. But if you want it, you can go ahead and do that.
And it's a reminder that you can learn a lot from the past. You need to learn a lot from the past. But at the same time, we change. It's usually for the better, although we regress at times too. And that's important history to know as well. So you can find lessons from Lincoln, but then at the same time, pick any president if we were talking at that time, do what Lincoln did. Well, it's not that simple. It wasn't simple for him.
We've really developed an us versus them mentality. And on top of that, COVID just solidified that type of thinking and let us forget that there was anything ever before that. So now we're kind of having to rewire and be like, hey, like, remember a time when you could just like hang out with people that didn't agree with you on stuff and it wasn't the end of the world. So I think that's a really important aspect of it. And we want to show that we have way more in common than our political badge.
You know, every time you talk about Taiwan, you're really talking about what most people perceive to be the strategic nerve center of the world. I mean, this is the most dangerous potential flashpoint. It's a place where the world's two superpowers, the United States and the People's Republic of China, could actually fight a war. People didn't want to talk about the danger of a potential military clash in the Taiwan Strait. Very happily, though, that has started to change. And so I think the Taiwan research community, Taiwan studies, has become much healthier than it was before.
I know hope and liberty and justice and democracy. I know they're worth fighting for. I know they're worth dying for. And that is a sentence that's hard to articulate when someone I love so much has died for them. And yet, it's the truth in my soul that reminds me what I know and what Brent knew and what motivated him. You know, I know it wasn't vain ambition sending him into public office or war. I know it was his soul, his character, his, like I said, his duty to the Korean War veterans that were born decades before him, or George Washington, Abraham Lincoln. He felt a kinship to the men and women of this country from generations past.
You know, all of us know that we pay taxes. We know that we have to pay for government services, and we don't often realize just how much we are paying. And when a little comes out of each paycheck, you might not realize quite as much. But seeing it in that one big lump sum was really shocking to me as kind of a young, newer worker. If your tax code has a more level playing field and gives you the chance to succeed and really start and grow a business or get launch your career and feel like you are able to save and invest for the future.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the word connection because that's really what it's all about. My show is called Hello Sonoma, and it really was born out of this idea of connecting with the people all around me. It's a small town, and I was curious about who those people are, who the people are who run the local grocery store or the local theater, who the people are that I've seen walking around town who are these kind of local icons. And there are not too many opportunities to connect with those people and to just talk with them and to hear their stories. So my program was born out of that curiosity about the people all around me.
At Freedom Fest, we really want to give space for thinking, listening openly and honestly to perspectives perhaps you don't agree with, at least initially, and maybe you never will, and that's okay. What I think is unique about Freedom Fest is that we're not in that divisive dichotomy. And what I find exciting is when people who are looking for that are able to come to Freedom Fest and experience that. Slowly but surely, we can start to let people realize again that it's okay to disagree. It's okay to find places where you do agree, even with people you might think you have a vastly different point of view. Where do you agree? Where can you agree?
Which seems so obvious, but I mean, everyone has a story. And the stories are all different. Some are uplifting, some are inspirational, some are sad, some are strange, but they're all unique to that individual. And if you don't know the story, you simply can't lead that person as well as you could otherwise. These incredible people who have life stories I couldn't even imagine and who have capabilities I never dreamed of having and have the ability to change things in a way that I could never change them. everyone has a story, and I need to learn the stories.
I hope you enjoy that, and once again, a big, big thank you to our podcast guests. They bring so many different ideas and different opinions, and it's just important to recognize the time and the effort that they have put into this show. A lot of them I've reached out just with cold email, and so for them to be able to come onto the program and to share their ideas, that I think means so much to all of us. And now for the second part of this program, I'd like to take a bit more of a reflective approach here. As you all know, as you see on your calendars, today marks another anniversary of September 11, 2001. I'd like to invite all of you to join me in a brief moment of silence as we remember the victims and the heroic efforts we saw on that historic day. Thank you. As I was recording this, I thought about where I was on September 11, 2001. I had just turned 4 years old about a week before, and so I was in school just like any other day. And I remember my uncle picking me up from school, but wasn't the final class or even in the afternoon. It was sometime in the morning. I didn't really recall what exactly happened, but I do recall me going to school early and coming back home early, not knowing that something tragic has happened thousands of miles just on the other side of the country, in New York, in Washington, D.C., and in rural Pennsylvania. You know, even though I was so young at the time, I feel it is not only an obligation to recognize this historic day, but also to remind other people that there is still a huge fight for the freedoms that we cherish so much. Every time we think about September 11, I know that there's people who have all different kinds of emotions. And I just want to share a couple thoughts with you as we reflect on this day. And we will perhaps reflect for very, very long time. But I believe it's important for us to spend even just one day out of every year to remember not just that day, but really the amazing heroes who we lost, but whose legacies still continue to this day. The first is that as time goes on, one of the big concerns that I feel, and I think others feel too, is the concern that, you know, younger generations, future generations, will not reflect on this day as much as perhaps other generations have. And while it's true that over time, as people, you know, are born after that day, they learn about through the history books or through oral histories, but I believe it's important to continue to reinstate what it is that we hold dear here in America, to reaffirm those values of freedom and those ideas of unity. You know, so much we hear nowadays about division and the polarization and the partisanship that happens nowadays in Washington, D.C. and across the country. But when we reflect on this day, I really hope that we preserve as much as we can that sense of unity that, while I was young at the time, I can't begin to imagine what that unity was like on that day and the days and weeks after. I remember when I first heard about September 11th, I couldn't begin to imagine how people like that could even exist. The people who not only were ones to attack this nation, but also even can't even begin to imagine the heroes on the other side who ultimately saved so many people's lives and who dedicated their entire livelihoods for those who survived to not only tell the story of September 11th, but to inspire new generations of people who want to serve our nation. I hope that we'll be able to get to hear from a survivor of September 11th. I also hope that we preserve the stories we'll never forget. As we always say on September 11th, we never forget the sacrifices that people made on that day. And it was, I remember when I was interning on The Hill, and Jon Stewart, the comedian, is not also a very, very passionate supporter for September 11th survivors. I remember watching on C-SPAN his very impassioned speech in front of one of the House committees, defending those who had survived September 11th, but who unfortunately had gotten ill. Some of them did not make it by the time he spoke in front of that committee. And I highly recommend that you watch that impassioned speech. Regardless of what people think about Jon Stewart or his politics or anyone else's politics, just hearing from someone who is defending for these survivors, and to know that a lot of these survivors still need our help, that I think should be part of September 11th. But going back to the sentiment that I like to share, and I want to keep this brief because this day is a day for all of us to reflect. But I just like to conclude with the final part of President George W. Bush's speech to Congress on September 20th, 2001. Quote, "I will not forget this wound to our country or those who inflicted it. I will not yield. I will not rest. I will not relent in waging this struggle for freedom and security for the American people. The course of this conflict is not known, yet its outcome is certain. Freedom and fear, justice and cruelty have always been at war, and we know that God is not neutral between them. Fellow citizens will meet violence with patient justice, assured of the rightness of our cause and confident of the victories to come. In all that lies before us, may God grant us wisdom, and may He watch over the United States of America." Unquote. I just want to read a bit of this speech because knowing that this day means so much to all of us, I also hope it's important for us to remember, as this podcast is about American history, in particular, we've spoken a lot about presidents. I also encourage people, if they get a chance to visit Texas, which is a fantastic state in and of itself, I hope you will visit the George W. Bush Presidential Library and Museum. I don't speak, obviously, on behalf of that institution, but I went one time with my father, and it is just an amazing place to reflect on 9/11. I won't spoil too much for all of you who haven't been there yet, but all I will say is that you, I think, will feel just how huge of a responsibility that President Bush faced. Regardless of our opinions about what happened and the policies that ensued, but just know that what happened on September 11th was not only difficult for countless people, it was particularly difficult, I think, for the leader of our country and the leader of the free world. And I do think that former President Bush did a fantastic job to just, at the very minimum, give people that space to reflect and to commemorate those who we lost. So just a personal recommendation for all those who are looking for a place to reflect on September 11th. And I hope that we will cherish this day. We will cherish every single day that we are with our fellow citizens. We cherish the freedoms that we are given by God and by our country and by those that are protected by the Constitution, and that we will cherish this great land and this amazing country that we are blessed with every single day. And with that, thank you all so much for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening to some of the excerpts from our guests for this past year of Friends and Fellow Citizens, as well as hope you will all have the opportunity to reflect on September 11th and the significance it has to our country's history and culture. And please remember, a day in America is always better when we are with our friends and fellow citizens.